Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to the RTE GAA podcast. Week two, and Enda McGinley is with myself and Rory to look back on the provincial quarterfinals. And Enda, I suppose not as many surprises as last weekend. Maybe the quality of it, not the same, but it just, I think maybe we're getting to the sense now where we just want to get to the provincial final stages. Everybody wants the championship to start heating up because it'd be nice to have a few more matches that were a little tighter.
Yeah, it's really hard. We probably got away with it last week. We were a wee bit spoilt last week from a couple of games that we wouldn't have expected much from. We got great performances and a few nice stories coming from it with a great game on and Cavan, a great game. So that got the thing off to probably a better than expected start. And coming into the championships, there was the surprise. We're into the provincial championships. It felt again a lot of focus on format. But yesterday then that's where the focus is on today, both from the comments from the managers afterwards and just that general sense that the season has this really strange sort of build into the National League, excitement of the National League. It builds up to good quality stuff and the finals were decent and good grand occasions, and then suddenly we're into this really, really flat period. And it's as if we're sort of we're just wasting time really until things get going, and it almost leaves at the round robin stage. It takes it. Obviously, we've only won it one episode of it to judge on, but it felt last year it took a while for it to get going. A stunning final day, which we almost sleepwalked into. But I think that was because we're all on such a low key coming out of the provincial championships. Round robin stage starts and it's hard to get going into it. And then suddenly we're into the learning phase and it gets going proper. So certainly from a format point of view, as a general narrative, to follow the Gaelic story through its season now, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't have a nice flow to it at all. And we're in the midst of a bit of a dull after yesterday, feeling sorry for ourselves.
Yeah, well, easy know that Colm O'Rourke worked in the media for 30-odd years, Rory, because even throwing the word shambles into it, he knew it was going to be headline stuff. You know, I wouldn't say it was planted. It was well thought out because he knows exactly what he's talking about. 16-point defeat for his team. And he's right. It is a shambles.
Yeah, that's the word that's going to grab people's attention when you use a word like that. Isn't that fair? But is it a shambles? You see, like, take Kilkenny out of it. There are 10 counties competing with Dublin. I think, like, it's a tired
It'd be a great
argument.
Competition without them.
Without them. And if, like, I know Eamon mentioned it and a few other people have mentioned it that, you know, it's played at the wrong time. And if you started your year with it, I think it might help even Leinster, because I'm not entirely sure, for instance, how serious Dublin would take it if it was played in the months of February, certainly in the month of February, to kind of kickstart the season. Dublin, by and large, don't really call back a lot of their mainstays until much deeper into the year. And you could have a situation whereby Leinster could become more competitive by virtue of Dublin being handicapped by maybe playing weakened teams at the beginning of the competition, which might help. Now, look, that's not exactly a good strategy to pin your hopes on from a Leinster perspective, but it's not just Leinster. Obviously, next weekend, Cork are heading down to Killarney for their annual spanking. So, look, there are problems, I think, with the provincial championships across the board. I know Paul Flynn made a really interesting point, I thought, last night with you guys on the Sunday game, in relation to the Derry blueprint, and that teams maybe need to stop whinging and moaning about the formats and maybe have a closer look internally. And I think it's a fair point. The only thing that you could probably quibble with that on is Derry, as much and all as they've been an incredible success story, there is an argument that you could make in the likes of Chrissy McKay, Garrett McKinless, Conor Glass, Shane McGuigan. Those four players and maybe one or two more, that Derry have a generational bunch of players. These are a generational bunch of talented footballers that don't necessarily come along year after year after year. Unfortunately, from Dublin's perspective, that's what they seem to be producing on an ongoing basis. And that's where, you know, like, you might have a team that is able to put together a side that can compete with them. But can a team compete with them for 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years? Kerry can, but and Tyrone come every now and again. Mayo can come every now and again and fall a little bit away. So I think that's where it gets slightly more tricky for counties, in that you can have all the blueprints and all the underage structures that you want. You're not going to produce a Conor Glass every year. Would you think, Enda?
Here, look, I would have major issue with Dublin. Of all topics, I think Dublin need to stay clear of is telling the rest of the country to pull up the socks. I think they do not have an idea of the work and the efforts that has to go into other counties, or how thin on the ground, really top level talent. You said it, Derry have hit a vein of several top quality players, but Derry were also, even in my time, which is whatever, 15, 20 years, they were in Division One finals. They've had the All-Ireland 93. They're a team that would have been hoping to nip an All-Ireland in the early noughties as well, and probably had a team thereabouts. They have club teams that are regularly up at that level. Their position, their fall down to Division Four was the outlier in terms of Derry. But Derry have more often than not, for the past 30 years, been a top level team, maybe not challenging for an All-Ireland, but they've got a batch of players now through, and absolutely they're doing phenomenal work, as there is phenomenal work going on in multitudes of counties. But you do not have the depth and the money that Dublin have, and if people want to then tell others to pull their socks up, there is just no comparison in terms of the talent pool and the financial backing that Dublin have. So that's, I think, an unfair point. Can everybody do a bit better? Absolutely. Absolutely. Even within Dublin, can they probably do a wee bit better? Well, absolutely. I would always take that with a wee bit of a pinch of salt, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. That's fair. The money is the biggest thing, Rory. Like, let's call a spade a spade.
Well,
and population, Jackie. Like, there's clubs in Dublin have. I had my wee under 14 team out the other day, and we're a big enough club in Tyrone, and we've got a big selection of players at the minute with under 14s. But we only, as it just so happens, you don't have that many with good birthdays, or that many bigger fellas with good birthdays. So we're actually in Division Two, and that's fine. That's our level at the minute. But if you're sitting in a club in Dublin and you have maybe 100 children at a certain age group, the top 15 of that is going to be serious wee footballers. The top 3 or 4 of that is going to be phenomenal footballers. And you've got that across, I don't know how many clubs in Dublin.
So Enda.
From sheer numbers alone, yes, they've other attractions, but every club now is facing that across the country, to be honest, as well.
Like, we have, I'm coaching the under-10s. We were out in Bridget's on Saturday with my club. And we've, like, at that age, it's 3 pods of, like, 10, it's 10 aside, 8, 9 aside. But we were playing Kilmacud Crokes. So we have about 35, maybe 40 players, which is quite big now for us. We're a growing club and, you know, we're coming. Kilmacud have 150 in the same age group.
That's my son's
150 kids in the one age group.
Yeah. And look, Rory, I'm one of the coaches in that group, right? Yeah. And I will say, there are challenges that come with that. And people
space,
might say, like, oh,
pitches,
look at all the numbers.
Funding, coach,
trying to facilitate and trying to keep
the logistics
all
playing, of that is very, very difficult as well.
Yeah.
And also, like, I do think it's important as well, the financial aspects that have gone into making Dublin successful. I don't think the GAA, Dublin County Board, or any of the clubs should make any apologies. I think it was important for the GAA to have a strong presence in the capital. I think it's about how you try and replicate and roll that out in other areas is where it becomes key. And that's difficult. That's difficult. I mean, you like the games development officers or the GPOs, they're not cheap. You know, every club in Dublin has to pay pretty much their own way when it comes to those smaller clubs in rural areas won't simply be able to afford to do that. And I think in a financial aspect, like, where I would probably take quibble with Dublin is, and I remember Paddy Kelly from Cork saying this to me, and Paddy it was a really interesting point, right? In that the spend that Dublin spend on their inter-county teams, and we've seen it in the books, I think this year was 2023 was 1.7, 1.65 million, in around 1.7 million. So it was exactly the same as Cork in terms of you've 6 inter-county teams, all boys, obviously, minor under 20 senior hurling and football. So that's a significant, and a very similar to Cork. Now, the difference in Cork, and Cork is the next obvious example, I'm not just using it in a parochial sense, but the big difference in Cork, as Paddy would say, is that 40% of your spend in Cork will be on mileage, because lads are travelling so far to get to where they need to get to. The big difference in Dublin is they don't have that expense, but they're still spending the exact same amount. Now, that is a massive advantage. While you throw on the fact you play all your games at home, and you have all the other advantages that go with being the capital city.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's not, I definitely want this as a, oh,
yeah,
it's unfair what Dublin have. It's Dublin being strong, absolutely fine. Are Dublin going to win that every All-Ireland? Absolutely not. There's other teams really going, but other teams are going to be pushing themselves to the absolute limit just to keep with Dublin, and that'll be for a short period of time, and then they'll probably fall away, and you're hoping another team can come along. The feeling that Dublin are a juggernaut now, that are going to be perennially there, is very much, they have got their house in order, absolutely. There's other teams with big populations, definitely can be doing better, and that should be looked at, and they can be up on it. But there are serious advantages that Dublin have that other teams are not in a position to replicate. And it's not just a matter of, here, we need to pull our socks up and just look at ourselves. There's innate advantages that just they have.
Yeah. And that, look, that is absolutely fair. I think it, for everyone else, it's just trying to see where they can get to that level. And if you take Kildare, for instance, Enda, at the weekend, right? Which is, Kildare-Wicklow is probably the game of the weekend in so many ways. And I think we were all maybe nervous that for a Kildare, that would we see a performance from them at some point? Was it coming? You're listening to Glenn Ryan talking after the game and saying, we just don't know why it's not happening. Relief seems to be the big feeling or whatever. That is one of those counties you're talking about. Big population, huge playing base. They should be doing better. You still, even now, you're wondering, when is it going to click with them that this needs to turn a corner? Because beating Wicklow is a significant result in one way, in that it puts them into a Leinster semi-final, but still very, very long way away from competing at the top tier.
There's no way for me that Meath and Kildare shouldn't be the equivalent of a Tyrone, Donegal, Derry, yeah, from an Ulster perspective, or an Armagh. From, like, they definitely are in position and probably better. So yes, those counties are underperforming at the moment, but you get that sense from them and that frustration from them, and there's people trying to put in big efforts there. For Kildare yesterday, it felt like the ultimate nightmare script was written, I'm sure, when Glenn Ryan seen the red card, and Wicklow were playing really, really well, full of confidence, and then that late goal and everything else, it really had a horrible look to it for Kildare. Yes. As if that was the final nail of the coffin, and all you were waiting was for the hammer to drop. And to their eternal credit, they didn't. They won the kick out, they got up the pitch, and they got a point. Wicklow will be sick by that, because they did have their chance. But for Kildare, even that wee moment, is that enough to spark them? Is that enough to put a bit of life in them? You would say yes, a shaky enough yes. But then you look down the track at what's awaiting them. They've got Louth, which will be a really tough tie. I think Louth, Ger Brennan, it was interesting seeing his comments after what I thought was a good enough result, because that was penned as a potential banana skin with Wexford.
It was competitive, and it was a very competitive game. A couple of goals in midway through the second half probably put a slightly unfair reflection on the scoreboard from Wexford's point of view. This was really tight. It was 8-4. With about 4 or 5 minutes to go to half time, and Loud scored 1-2, which to go in at the break a point up, and I thought slightly unfair on Wexford. So it was more competitive. It was more competitive than what maybe the full time scoreline reflected. Sorry.
Yeah. So you're expecting a bit of a response from Loud there, so that will be difficult for Kildare. But for either team to come through that, you're playing Dublin and Croke Park, and they're going to be getting up to speed. Like, they weren't happy with their performance yesterday. So they're going to be going and trying to iron out the kinks in their whatever point win that they had. So it feels like several years ago when Dublin, you could go out and you could give it absolutely everything and try to stick with them, and then they just unloaded the bench, and they just, you know, their gallop remained steady, and if anything, grew stronger, and the opposition's just wilt in the final 20 minutes. So that was an all too familiar look yesterday, whenever you're starting to see the sheer strength of events that they're going to be able to employ later on in the year.
That's the fear, Rory.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I got a sense from Dublin yesterday, particularly in the first half, they looked to me like a team that was flushing out a fairly heavy block of training. And they just looked a little, I wouldn't say weary or anything like that. They just looked to me like that they'd done, they'd gone through a bit of a block now, because they've got Fitzy, Cluxton, the usual lads have come back into the mix. And I'd say the real ramping up now, because they know they can coast through the Leinster. So I'd say they probably treat the Leinster Championship as a pre-season at this stage, and that they'll get a big body of work done. And I think that might have played in to a certain extent into the lethargy in their performance. They were a little bit off. Cluxton, obviously, his first game back since the All-Ireland final last year, his kickouts were a little bit wayward. That'll be all sorted out by the next day against Offaly. Pray for Offaly, right? If we thought what they did to Meath was bad. But I wouldn't, look, they're ramping things up again. It's scary for everyone else.
They're serious. They're a serious, serious side. So impressive to watch.
Do you know the difficulty though, Ender, right? If you, watch them. They didn't even look, like Rory's right, they were still miles off Dublin pace.
And they didn't even play that well.
And they put 16 points on Meath. That I think that's what's worrying, because this Dublin team haven't even got going yet.
Yeah, and there was plenty to credit. There wasn't, for Colm O'Rourke, the first half, large parts of it, in individual plays, when you looked at it, Meath got several quality scores. They were competitive. They were competitive in kickouts, done a great job in Cluxton's kickouts. That's as brave as you can be about that. But just that level of quality does eventually eke out. And then before you know it, you're 6, 7, 8 points behind. And then from there, when you're trying to push up, you're just leaving even more holes. And it's suddenly an absolute hammering on the scoreboard. And it you could sense, it was that air of inevitability. I think John Fogarty described it as that. And that's what it was watching it. It just... Meath were doing well, and actually really well, but you never got any sense that Dublin were in any way pressured at all. So yes, very, very difficult. But in terms of Dublin, they've found a few more players over the winter, and then obviously their mainstays to come back in. Mick Fitzsimmons is central to them though, because they struggled with McGuigan in both league and league finals, so they haven't got that nailed down, and the likes of him being fit is critical in there too, and obviously for the Kerry challenge. But for Dublin, you can't, as a top team, they're not in a position to be mentally just on it every day of the week whenever that challenge isn't really there. Their summer will now be dictated by one or two huge games against your Derrys, your Kerrys, and maybe one or two of that chasing block who hit a good run of form.
Okay, if we take it that Dublin are going to win Leinster, right? Can we talk about the other teams and where you see their trajectory? Because take a Meath now, Tailteann Cup champions last year, and suddenly they're kind of, there's no doubt that's a setback, what happens to them yesterday. But I think it's one that everybody expected they were going to lose anyway. So it's actually more, how does he turn around the 16-point defeat as opposed to the defeat? I guess it's the manner of it, how they recover. But also for a Wicklow, where their defeat, I would nearly suggest, is actually quite harder to take than Meath's, because everyone would have expected the Meath loss anyway. Whereas I think for Wicklow, the opportunity was right there in front of them. And Oisín McConville has called it sickening. So I think for all those teams that have gone out at the weekend, it's the manner of how they recover and what their season looks like from here.
It is. It's sickening. Absolutely. Them players will be gutted. But it's sickening with a real sense of pride too. They got off to the league in a really bad start and turned it around. Obviously, they ended up getting relegated. So that's a tough place to go. Then they pulled off that really good win, and they followed it up by going toe-to-toe against Kildare. And Kildare played well in parts. Kildare's, physically, when you look at them and everyone else, they are a serious unit. They just haven't been performing as such. But for Wicklow to go and do that, yes, they missed out of their chance. But they're Division 4 side, so really, do they really want to happen to fall into the sort of Sam Maguire stage? They'll say yes, but I think for them, they can look forward to the Tailteann Cup. and look at all the teams there and say, yep, we can have a real go at that with a real good confidence. Like the buzz and the feeling in that camp come the next night, yes, it's tough defeat, unlucky, but geez, boys, we are shifting now compared to where we were a month ago. And I think any team will take that. They have a really realistic chance of punching big holes in that Tailteann Cup. And that for Wicklow would be a superb season then. Even with the relegation, it'll leave them with a real sense that they're in an upward curve. So, yes, absolutely. They'll be annoyed today that they missed out on a big chance. But the fact that they've put themselves in that position, I think they'll see the pride, and the moral victory is never a nice thing to say, but the moral victory in it.
Mm. One last word on Leinster, Rory, because the interesting thing is obviously Westmeath will be keen observers as to what happens with Louth Kildare, because if Louth can make a provincial final, then everybody's watching as to whether Westmeath can get into Sam Maguire football as well. But I think for Ger Brennan, he'll feel for a Louth team to make a Leinster final would be an enormous step forward. I heard Jack Sargent saying about the Kildare team after the game yesterday that they feel they are a Sam Maguire team, that's where they want to be. I think for all of these three teams, it's a bit of a boxing parlance for who's going to be the last man standing here.
And they're scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah,
they got four again yesterday. They got six against Fermanagh in the league. I think across all the league football, I looked there this morning, it was 19 or 20 goals they're after scoring. So they can get goals. Samuel Roy played great stuff. It was a very interesting penalty tactics. Two quality penalties, in fairness. So you'd imagine they're going to go into that game against Kildare slight favourites. I wouldn't make them outrageous favourites. I'd probably see that as a 50-50. Kildare will obviously have a suspension to deal with, and a key player, in fairness. You guys dealt with it last night. And they do look like they're still searching for a little bit of confidence. Kildare don't look to me like a team that's, look, I suppose seven defeats in the league is probably going to floor you anyway. So there's no real surprise in that. But it would definitely make it 50-50. I presume the two games are on in Croke Park as a doubleheader, so it should bring a bit of a crowd. But Louth should come down in big numbers and go after it. Now, look, the booby prize, obviously, is that you're probably going to play in Dublin in the Leinster final. But if you, like, from Louth's perspective, to make the Leinster finals back-to-back, I think would be significant. A lot of people, including me, thought they were going to fall away because of the way Mickey exited, and then obviously they were a bit late getting Ger on board. Like, they've seemed to have gone from strength to strength. They have some very good players. So I think they will, they'll pose big issues for Kildare. Where Kildare can go to, you just don't know. I mean, if they end up in the Tailteann Cup, I think it's not good for football, and it's certainly not good for Kildare football. So there's a lot of pressure on them going into that game as well.
Huge pressure. Okay, let's finish off on Ulster then. And if you take Armagh as the main contenders out of the weekend, who you saw, were you impressed by them, not impressed by them? What do you make of it all?
Yes, I'm impressed by them in the same sense that whenever they're going well, they're a serious side. They're a top level football team, really well coached, brilliant physical condition, some brilliant footballers amongst them. They had too much for Fermanagh, and the Black.
It wasn't even a contest, was it? No, what I mean. It's hard to judge.
Fermanagh lost one of their paciest players, Nolan Kellen, to that black card, and then Armagh hit them for the two goals in the next 6 minutes. And the game was over effectively. So yep. It's a tough dose for Fermanagh, who always, in terms of a county, making the most of what they have. That they definitely do that. But Armagh on a different level. They've got a good line into the Ulster final. Yes, they've Down to take on, and I think you'll see a response from Down, but you're still expecting Armagh to have too much. So, and then you go back to last year's Ulster final, where Armagh put it right up to Derry. The whole way through, they narrowly lost out, obviously, on penalties, and then lost out to penalties to Monaghan again, and Monaghan put it up to Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. So, like, they're a team that absolutely can get there. They just have to. It's all about the big day for Armagh. I don't think anybody would doubt that they have the potential, but until they do it, then that's all the talk will be about unfulfilled potential or the trophies that they have missed out on. The Division Two final certainly for me was a bit of a sucker punch, but they responded well, dusted themselves down, got the job done yesterday. They'll fancy taking on Down. I think again they'll have the bit between their teeth, and I think they're a team that'll be building for a massive performance in the Ulster final. I think if any team's targeting a provincial title, I think Armagh would be all guns out for it, and it's set up for them to have a really good tilt at it, and I didn't see anything to convince me otherwise yesterday.
I think there were reasons, Rory, as well, which have come out afterwards, obviously, why they didn't perform so well in the league final. There was obviously the bug in the camp. They did look flat. I thought yesterday was, they did, Enda's right, they did exactly what was asked of them, and they probably didn't need to do an awful lot more, because I thought Fermanagh were very disappointing.
Very. Just didn't get going at all. At home, you know, they competed quite well in the league against the same opposition, but I just think Armagh were clinical. They didn't really want Fermanagh getting any notions whatsoever that this was going to be a contest, and they went out and went after them and played football the way, I suppose, look, it's kind of come the narrative, and you guys mentioned it as well last night on the show. They played the way we all want to see Armagh play, and the way we know that they could play, where they're very much front foot, they're very aggressive, they're pushing up, they're pressing. The issue for me with Armagh, and I don't know whether you guys mentioned it last night or did I hear it somewhere else, is sometimes I find with them, like, they can get dragged down sometimes depending on the opposition that they're playing. But also, I also believe that if they don't back themselves, so if they feel they're coming up against a team that might have a similar skill set and a similar level of conditioning, they tend to retreat into a more conservative approach. And I don't know whether or not that serves them well, because I think they would... I think if they played the way they played yesterday, they will give every team loads of problems. The big one for them is a massive championship win. I think that's certainly something that they're going to have to tick off. They need to probably win something, namely the Ulster Championship, and this is a great opportunity again. They've got a very, very good squad. They've got some really classy forwards, solid midfield. Farker, arguably one of the best centre-backs out there. You know, they still have Ethan Rafferty. No, there's a bit of competition going on there, but he might necessarily be automatically getting back in because Blaine Hughes has done so well. So everything seems to be going well from an Armagh perspective, but they're always only one performance or result away from a catastrophe as well, you know, and it can be that element of catastrophizing about Armagh football, insofar as when they win, everything is brilliant, and when they lose, everything is, the world has gone to hell in a handcart.
Any chance Down can turn them over, Enda?
Not on Saturdays.
On the Evans of Saturday, absolutely not. But I think on Rory's point, I think Down got dragged down by Antrim to a certain extent. Antrim were coming into that game in a really difficult place. Like, they just have been hammered by injuries, every bit as bad as Galway, but without the depth to go in there. So Antrim knew what they had to do just to make it a dog of a game, and they'd made a good job of that, and actually had good chances at the other end. So Antrim done exactly what they had to do and could have ended up with the result. The problem for Down is Down didn't deal with it at all. They once again really struggled that sort of tightly packed defence. They really, really struggled to bring it down. And a wee bit like Monaghan the previous week when they were favourites, I think they went out with a sort of sense of trying to control the game rather than really just going at it with an authority, which Armagh done against Fermanagh, like really aggressively pushed up, super aggressive on the press, get the ball back as fast as possible and go and do damage. And I think teams need to do that now. Down let Antrim to a certain extent sort of dictate the game, but there's a much, much better performance in Down. They showed glimpses during the National League of serious, serious quality progress. The two final losses in Croke Park, last year's Talton and then this year's Division 3 final, definitely will have hurt them. And we see I expected a bit of a response, to be honest, against Antrim. We didn't see that. So they're in a slightly difficult place in a camp. You just query what's going to come. I think if they really click into gear, they're going to be written off now against Armagh. They're near neighbours. Down will quite happily come in under that sort of umbrella. but that only works if you produce a massive performance. At the minute, going on everything that we've seen over the past couple of weeks, that has to be an Armagh win, anything else, and it's a massive shock.
I think everybody probably agrees with you. The other side of the draw will be known next weekend, and we'll be back to look ahead to that one on Thursday, because we'll have to leave it there today. Enda, thanks a million for being with us, and to everybody who listens, don't forget to like and follow wherever you get your podcast. As we said, that Ulster Championship, part of a huge set of fixtures at the weekend. The Hurling Championship gets underway as well, so we'll be back on Thursday to look ahead to that, and we'll chat to you then.